Welcome to Bicycle Retail Radio, the bicycle industry podcast that brings retailers, vendors, advocates, and thought leaders to the mic for honest discussions about the latest issues facing retailers while taking an in-depth look at the person within the profession.
All right, welcome to the Flex. Today is our Technician Flex. It's our new edition, not so new anymore, I guess, but a newer edition to Bicycle Retail Radio. The Technician Flex is a podcast feature focused specifically on service center and mechanics, and it's produced in partnership with NBDA educational partner Northwest Arkansas Community College's Bicycle Assembly and Repair Technician Program Director, Benjamin Glenn. I'm NBDA President Heather Mason. Ben, how are you?
I'm great. We're about to wrap up this semester, so I couldn't be more excited. I'm looking forward to jumping into the spring content, but that's not until the middle of January. Next week, our students will take on the practical exams or their hands-on skills exams for the semester. So got the room set up. We'll be going through drivetrains and some brake assessments, as well as tubeless conversions and just that flat fix. The flat fix is definitely the most common repair, it seems like, in a bike shop. So we got to make sure that we're efficient on that and we can do that exercise repeatedly. So got some assessment happening next week with our students, and then looking forward to the break, but excited to jump in to our next set of classes for the spring.
That is excellent to hear. And if you're listening to the podcast, I urge you, when you get done with your run or your ride or your drive, wherever you're headed, to head over to our YouTube channel, because you can actually see this podcast. And Ben is in the facility in Northwest Arkansas, and you can see what's behind him. It's pretty cool. So Ben, appreciate you taking time out of your schedule every month to answer these questions. So listeners, these are questions submitted from other listeners. So retailers, suppliers, advocacy groups, they write to us, and we answer their questions, your questions, live on air. And the questions can be anything to do with mechanics or tech, service department operations, continuing education. We'll answer your questions. You just write to me, Heather at NBDA.com, and we'll go ahead and answer them online. So today, this is episode 4, Ben. We made it. Like, we're cranking through 4 months we've been doing this. That's awesome.
It's great. Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun, I guess.
So, all right. So we have 4 questions for episode 4. I thought that would be kind of fun. And Ben is he's an expert in the field, and he's highly respected. And, you know, he is the instructor of this program. He leads this program. So we greatly appreciate his knowledge. These questions are really technical today, in my opinion. The first one's a little bit less technical, but still involves the service department. So let's dive in. Ben, first question is from a retailer near Chicago. And the retailer writes, "My mechanic insists that checking the bottom bracket and truing the wheels be part of the bike build." So I'm sure, listeners, we've all been here, right? Bikes are coming in, we're building them for the floor. So maybe your mechanic wants to go and do the bottom bracket check and wants to true the wheels. This retailer is saying 80% of the bikes that come in have a bottom bracket that's over tightened or completely dry. And doing those 2 steps, the bottom bracket and the wheel true, avoids problems down the road. Unfortunately, this means we have a 2-hour build by the time the bike is unpacked. And it's just a lot to keep up with. So Ben, any tips on this one?
Ooh, yeah. You know, I love spending time building a bike, taking my time, not getting stressed about it, knowing where everything is, cleaning up as well. Actually got a bike build I got to do this evening to get ready for next week. But we could get into the weeds. We could talk about this, it seems like, for quite a while. We've got to remember, though, that oftentimes this bike build that we're doing, this new in box build, is oftentimes that customer's first impression of our service department, and definitely their first impression of the bike shop itself. We got to make sure those impressions are positive. So, I would say that, if these items, take care of future problems, might not be a bad idea, but we gotta think about also, the level of bike, I guess, premium, economically priced, whatever that looks like, when we're dealing with premium bike, it's definitely a privilege to have highly qualified technicians dedicated to approach the premium price point, new in box builds as a frame up build. So what I mean by that is, you know, you have a customer, a rider that's either brought you a bike or you ordered this bike for them. They paid a premium price for that. You know, I always like to approach those as a kind of signature build, if you will, or a premium build, and literally strip all the parts off, bring them back up to speed, make sure that my things like the surface treatments are taken care of. If that bottom bracket, you know, needs to be cleaned, you know, take off the manufacturer's lubrications, and then reinstall that part with the correct amounts or with the correct type. So it's not really something that could be a reality for a lot of shops. You got to think, you know, not all shops are going to be able to dedicate the staff to that 2-hour build. You know, so what can we do in the meantime? How can we make sure that we get a quality build, the customer is happy with that bike, but we're also doing some proactive you know, services to that bike while we're building it. Typically during the season, the shop might be able to employ 1 or 2 dedicated builders. And these folks are building sales floor bikes as well as those special orders that come in a lot of times. So to kind of answer the questions about tips, I got to think about, you know, how can we delegate the work? So could the build queue be delegated, meaning that they're delegated, meaning that one person unboxes the bikes, performs that initial assembly, then that, the finer details might be handled by a production tech or, you know, more of a senior tech, if you will. Also think about your build process. Is it efficient? You know, it sounds like this, you know, a 2-hour build, that's a lot of time in the day. You know, understanding that, you know, you got to unpackage everything. And then you also have to dispose of that packaging, check it into Lightspeed or your POS system, serial number, all those things like that. It does take some time. So how can we delegate that? Where do we, you know, can we think about our process? We're getting ready to go into some slower times for a lot of shops around the country. So, you know, this is the perfect time to kind of evaluate your service efficiency. Give your staff time. Hey, perform a drivetrain adjustment. Hey, perform a brake bleed. Take the average time. Maybe set some of those benchmarking times. Reevaluate, you know, what you're charging, maybe, possibly, and really understand the time commitment it takes to do the quality that you want to be reflected in your shop. Let's see. What else would I add to this? You know, you could perform as much of the quality control while the bike's in the repair stand. Check in spoke tension. The alignment can have a visual check on that. Maybe not have to take the wheel completely off to do those things. You know, if there's some wheel tolerances there that you're not happy with, they don't fall underneath your 20% rule or whatever that looks like, remove the wheel, service that, put it back on. And one thing I will point out about the bottom bracket, you know, checking that torque is absolutely perfect. I just saw that there's a online publication, Escape Collective. I follow them. I'm a member. I love it. Fantastic podcast. Dave Rome just published again his article on torque tools. It's fantastic. I would jump over there, check it out. It's really informational. He does a great job at evaluating quality tools, as well as, you know, just kind of give you some tips how to use that tool correctly. But you always want to make sure you back off the fastener, half turn to a full turn. So basically, you know, break free that fastener, then bring it up to the manufacturer's recommended tightening torque. Create a cheat sheet of those common torque recommendations for the bikes you sell in your shop. That makes it a lot faster. I will say there is a certain crank bolt out there. I'm not going to name any names. But this crank bolt will challenge even the most experienced techs. This is one I would absolutely remove on any bike that comes in my shop. Clean it, reapply surface treatments, reinstall it on a new bike, on a customer's bike that I'm working on for service, on any of those bikes that come in, because that bolt can give you a little bit of a headache, you know, if it goes unchecked. Or if it's, you know, being installed by the factory, you know, when they build that, you know, assemble that in the factory. A lot of opportunities. I've said a lot here, but think about the opportunity you might have on those premium price point builds. Some point, though, there needs to be a decision made about the new in-box build standards. So the standards you're using in the shop to build that bike and the efficiencies as well with that service. Should every bike build consume 2 hours of the workday? Probably not. So you're going to have to compromise a little bit, but no compromise your image or the quality of product you want to put out there for your community.
And that's such a detailed, excellent answer. It is, you know, you kind of could lose sight that it is the first impression that people have with your shop. So there has to be a balance. There's a lot of considerations. You always go above and beyond with your answer. So I'm sure the reason.
Sorry about that.
No, it's great. It's going to love that. Okay. I'm going to give you another one. You ready, Ben?
Yeah, here we go. Let's have it now.
All right. So we have a question on brake bleeds for this month. In the context of maintaining high performance bicycles, what key considerations and best practices do you recommend for brake bleeds? And then there's just a continuation. How can bicycle shops ensure optimal brake performance and safety for their customers through proper bleeding techniques? That's a big one.
Yeah, that is a big one. And lucky for me, we've been doing brake bleeds this last week in class. So this is like perfect timing. You know, our students will have an assessment, a benchmarked assessment. So they will be timed next week on their brake bleed. We're just doing a standard mountain bike style. It's actually Shimano MT200 brake. So very basic, but it's a brake that you see on a lot of economically priced bikes. So you're going to encounter this brake often, and you're probably going to service it quite often. So I always like to think about the service interval standpoint. So what we try to instill in our students is recommending to their customers a yearly hydraulic brake service. This might not be a full system bleed, but it's at least a cleaning of that caliper, pad and rotor wear check as well, replacing those things if needed. And also, sometimes this could also just be a fluid replacement to remove any contaminations in that braking fluid itself. Not a full system bleed. You know, I'm not bleeding, you know, the whole system caliper line and brake lever. Maybe it could be a partial bleed, something of that nature. It's a great service to offer. It's just a hydraulic brake service, not a full bleed. You can explain to your customer, this is going to make sure that we're doing proactive service. So we're checking your pad wear, we're checking your rotor wear. Both of those things are absolutely something you want to check on a yearly basis. We're talking about a high performance bike here. So it's what the question said. So I'm imagining this is, you know, 3,000, 4,000, maybe even all the way up to a $10,000 bike. This person invested quite a bit of money in this bike at, high performance. I think of, sub 24, 23 pounds, cross country bike, it was $12,000, stuff like that. It's got the, latest greatest stuff on there. So they want their components. They want their bike to perform as functioned. And they, don't want to have any compromises. So absolutely, they will absolutely want to have this service done.
Ben, can I just interject? As a person who's notorious for getting past the point of my brake pads and then it ruins the caliper and it's like bad news. Yeah. I think this is awesome. And I love the idea of making this a service that you can charge for. You know, this is, it takes your time. And so I love this. So didn't want to interrupt you, but I'm really hearing what you're saying.
Yeah, that's perfect. I got a student who's come through our program. He's a PhD in English and decided he wanted a career switch. So it's fantastic to get someone of that caliber coming into the industry. But he's never touched hydraulic brakes, never even, didn't know a brake pad from a rotor. And he bought his own service kit. He's going to do a hydraulic brake bleed on like three of his mountain bikes this weekend just for practice. And also they need it. He didn't realize how important that was. So it's going to give him a chance to perform that crucial inspection as well and make sure that system is working correctly.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. A lot of fun. I like brake work. And when your brakes work, they work. When they don't work, they don't work. So, you definitely want that safety feature to happen.
Ben, there are some like manufacturers recommended procedures, right?
There are. Yes. That's where we begin in class. That's where we like to take our brake courses, starting with that manufacturer's recommended bleed procedures or recommended service for their brake that they make. And then move on from there into things that include the fluid dynamics and the thermodynamics. Take a deep dive into hydraulic fluids. what are the most popular setups using today? You know, what are the pad compounds? How do they react with those rotors? So, you know, taking the basics of the manufacturer and then building on that from a scientific standpoint, understanding the function, leverage as well. We talk in depth about brake leverage, how leverage is achieved in a hydraulic system. You know, we can take a mechanical brake, a mechanical cable actuated brake, and see that leverage happening. But a lot of times in a hydraulic brake, that's not something we can see and visualize. So we really try to create these opportunities for the technician to deepen their understanding and truly come away with an understanding and comprehension of what's happening in a hydraulic system. And then also to help them build their skills as a versatile critical thinker so they can approach different brakes. You know, if they understand the hydraulic system, they can bleed any brake, any hydraulic system out there. You know, they could probably figure out, you know, how excavators work. So
I know you guys have a lot of partnerships, different companies that support and help you with the educational partners. Do you have with your educational program? I'm sorry. Do you have any partner that helps in this area? I would imagine that this is like a critical skill. So
yeah, we actually have been fortunate enough to partner with Magura Brakes. So one of our educational partners, Magura Brakes, each fall is a part of our braking system course. Jude, Monica, if you're out there, thank you. Matt Taylor, thank you. With Magura USA, spend about 2 days with our students. They've done this the last couple of years. It's a fantastic experience for the students. They teach all things Magura, all the best practices from their many, many years in the braking business. You know, Magura is brakes only. That's what they specialize in. It's an unforgettable experience for the students. I always seem to pick up some tip from them as well. You know, just who knows? Jude is fantastic. Matt's fantastic. Magura, thank you for supporting our program. So
I'd love to see that support happening. So I guess it's like education and to answer the question, then like know what the manufacturers are suggesting, right?
Yes. Yeah. So to answer the question, yeah, I tend to get off on topics here. So start by educating the customer about the service intervals. The brakes are great. We just have to take care of them. Let the customer know brakes are a safety item and need to work properly. Then make sure to stay up to date with what the manufacturers are recommending. Yeah, that might include jumping on to Shimano Technical Ed or SRAM Tech University. And of course, Magura's Tech Academy as well. They've just revamped that. It's fantastic. Get in touch with Magura USA and they'll connect you into their training modules. So manufacturers are great. They want you to know how to work on their parts. Customers want to know how things work sometimes. So yeah.
Lots of great tips in there. Oh God, this next one is a huge one. I feel like there's so much opportunity for retailers. This question is about suspension. And suspension is a super crucial role in the overall performance of a bicycle. As a big mountain biker, it makes or breaks it, right? So What strategies or approaches do you suggest for bike shops to effectively communicate the importance of suspension service? And how can techs educate riders on the benefits of that regular suspension maintenance and tuning? I mean, again, don't look at me because I'm the person who like hardly ever does anything. And I know I should, but we like, what are the tips here? How can we get our bicycle retailers, our service technicians, educating our riders about the importance of this?
Yeah, I love that. I love suspension. It's fantastic. It seems like I'm always, you know, checking that stuff out. We've got a whole 16-week course dedicated to suspension and suspension service. So come take that course, right? No. But this topic of suspension service can oftentimes be an untapped revenue stream for the service department. A lot of shops might not offer that on-site suspension service. And this would be an opportunity for you to educate the staff, educate your technicians, send them to some training. And then turn around and make money on that education and that knowledge. So, technicians know so much stuff. And just crazy. You know, you start talking to a bike technician, how much they can, do with their hands. It's great. So, all right. So, let's start, once again, educating the customer. You know, they paid a premium price for that bike. They absolutely want to take care of that bike. I was talking to one of my coworkers here She's got a $7,500 full suspension E mountain bike. And we're just talking about maintenance, and we're kind of trying to create some new courses for a couple years down the road. And I just asked, you know, we're talking about service. And I said, you know, I said, when's the last time you bled your brakes? When's the last time you had your suspension service? And she said, well, I didn't even know that was something. And I was like, well, you paid a lot of money for that bike. Let's make sure it's working right. So people will appreciate that. And it's whether the bike is bought, you know, at your shop or across town. A lot of times folks might not know, or even know that, you know, might not even appreciate or know the features they have built right into their suspension system. So this is a great opportunity to get to know your customer a little bit better and teach them about their bike and what they purchased. You know, so after those initial greetings, conversations, what brought them to your shop, really build up their bike, let them know they have something special here and you want to show them, or at least, you know, demo, let them ride, try it out, what their product can do for them. So I like to start out with saying, you know, something like, wow, you've got an amazing bike here. I really appreciate the ability to tune the low speed compression on this fork. Customer is going to be like, low speed, what? What are you talking about? What is this? So let them know they have a premium component, and talk to them about that proactive service. Hey, yeah, this is how it works. This is what's happening. This is how it's going to help you enjoy your ride a little bit more. But, you know, you have a nice product. We need to take care of that. So here's a service interval sheet. We'll see you in 50 hours. Well, 50 hours, that doesn't seem like a whole lot. For a lot of people, that might be once a year service. Opportunity for you to come in and do those brake checks, for you to check out the other components on the bike while you're doing that service as well. So show them that service schedule, break it down for them, hand it to them, print it on a piece of paper, let them know that your shop is going to take take the time to track that for them and communicate with them for when it's time for that service. You know, honestly, I don't remember the last time that, you know, I did this service. How do I keep track of this? Well, guess what? We've got your name number. We got your contact information. Let me just send you a quick text when it's time for that. I'll give you about a week or two's notice. You know, I hate the word discounts. To be honest, I don't want to discount anything that I'm working on. I love to make sure that getting paid for my knowledge and for my skills. But sometimes on that first service, it might not be a bad idea to offer some type of discount, especially on those bikes that you're selling in your shop. Dust wiper kits typically are reasonably priced, and that 50-hour service shouldn't take more than about 30 minutes tops on some of those lower mileage brand new bikes. So, you know, a year from now, we'll see you back here. We'll do a lower service, and your bike is going to continue to ride just like day one when it was brand new.
Yeah. I love this answer. I think a lot of it is just having that conversation, letting them know, and then also like how soon we can get it back. I think that's another thing for us mountain bikers. We don't want to be without our bikes, right?
No way. Yeah. I haven't ridden mine in like a week, and this weekend I wasn't feeling great last week, but so this weekend I can't wait. I'm going to try to soak up all the mountain biking I can this weekend.
Oh man, it's so awesome. All right, one more question. Are you cool for one more?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. So the final question is around belt drive systems. I don't know if you cover that at the school. They are gaining some popularity. I feel like they're on certain styles of bikes. Is kind of a big, broad question. Any unique considerations for the servicing of belt drives? I mean, it's really open-ended. Anything come to mind, really? Maybe one or two things that pop into your mind?
Yeah, belt drives, yes, are gaining popularity. Seems like they've always been around since the dawn of bikes, though. Belt drives, you know, it seems like they've been around for quite a while, not just more recent years. So I did a little digging recently. I think that was maybe back in the summer about belt drives and considering adding those to that conversation to our drivetrain course. But I think it's really relevant in our e-bikes course, actually, because you're seeing e-bikes, that are sticking with that belt drive system, especially, you know, on the hub drives. It's just a super clean look. A lot of folks really are liking that clean look from the manufacturer, but they're low maintenance. There's you know, almost zero maintenance you have to do on that system. So you can see the appeal there with that system. There's no chain to lubricate. You know, you can leave that belt on there for quite a while, not really going to have to replace it. So I did some digging. I went over to Gates' website. Gates is a big manufacturer of pretty much all belts out there. It's the name that comes to mind when you think belt drive and a belt. And the tips that I found on their website and some of the information there, they do have a lot of tech bulletins there, but it mostly came down to proper setup, so tensioning, and configuring the Gates drive calculators. The configuration between the front and the rear gears on or sprockets on those bikes. So, you know, if somebody wants to swap those out, you're going to have, you'd be able to do that right there at Gates' website. So there's some service bulletins that they do have. The tension app is great. So you can go in there and really understand how much tension you need to put on that belt in order for it to hold onto the gear. Some instructional videos, they're fantastic. But I would absolutely refer to the belts, and I am going to as well when we do this in the spring, because I'm adding belt drives to our e-bikes course. It's important. It's not something you're going to see every single day, but you will see it, and you want to be prepared for that as well. So taking the opportunity maybe this off season to educate your staff and educate yourself on belts might not be a bad idea. E-bikes, most popular, you know, bike categories since I think 2015, 2016, you know, they've had amazing sales with e-bikes. They're not going anywhere. So let's make sure that we can service those for our customers.
Excellent. Fantastic tips. Like, my first thought went to the tension, of course, but some other stuff in there that's great too. And a fantastic thing for the off season to work on. Ben, once again, you just blow me away. You're just like, you got all the knowledge over there. I'm glad you're feeling better. And I do hope you get out on your mountain bike. Thanks so much, listeners. If you are listening in the car, listening on your run, on your ride, you can hop over. You can see this on YouTube. You can see our awesome faces. You can see the facility behind Ben in the background here. That wraps up our episode for today. If you'd like to submit a question, go ahead and send any questions you have on service, mechanics, bike assembly right over to me, heather@mbda.com. We'll do our best to answer those questions on the next episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being awesome. And with this, we go. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Bicycle Retail Radio. This podcast is designed specifically for the bicycle industry, dedicated to strengthening our retailers and cycling community. If it is your first episode, we urge you to take the time and listen to our past episodes.